Good afternoon. It's good to be back this evening. If you turn your Bible to 2 Kings chapter 6, we're going to go there in Old Testament this afternoon for a few minutes. Lord, open my eyes that I might see. If you're here and you're visiting with us and we're not a member of the Church of Christ, we want you to be a member, but you got to believe that Jesus suffered on the cross for you, shed his blood and washed your sins away, and purchased his church, his bride. Upon believing that, you must be baptized for the remission of your sins. So the Lord then will add you to the true church and only church in the Bible, that is the church of Christ. Amen? Amen. This afternoon, how many times have you felt outnumbered in life? How many times have you felt like giving up because of life? How many times have you felt like you've been fighting a losing battle? You're outnumbered. You don't know how you're going to make it. Find yourself up in life and then down again in life. And every time you take one step forward, it seems like you go two steps backwards. That seems to be the pattern for many people in life. Our youth in a spiritual fight. All of us is in a spiritual fight against good and evil and right and wrong. We fight with decisions and choices of life. Our young people fight the battle of social acceptance and fitting in with their peers and dealing with the bullying and sexual introductions in their young ages and the pressure of peers and rap songs and violence and all the things being introduced into their minds and the role models of rappers and basketball players tattooed up and millionaires driving big fancy cars and chains around their neck, impressing them as if they have got something that they don't have. Our young adults are fighting the battle of pleasures of party life or authority. In other words, they're leaving a home of authority on the mom and dad, and they're free to commit spiritual suicide and live whatever way they want to live. Kicking it on the weekends and mindset of a low priority on spirituality versus high priority on worldly gains. They want their high school diploma. They want their college degree. They want their master's degree. They want their bachelor's. They want a $40,000, $50,000, $100,000 job and is not focused on their spiritual well-being. Young adult, that's their lives. And then we have the adults who will fight the battle of drug and alcohol addictions, marital problems, leading to divorce and stress, looking like they're happy and married, walking in here like they're happy. At home, they sleep in two different beds and are miserable. Those who married young did not know what they were doing, no premarital counseling, yet they are in their mid-adult 40s and 50s, and now they're very unhappy with each other. One is committing adultery on the other one, even in thought, if not to act. Living with consequences of childhood and young adult decisions and mistakes. Then we have those who are down past the 40s and 50s and their 60s and 70s and 80s and still understanding now life is starting to change. I'm not as healthy as I used to be. I'm dealing with sickness. I'm dealing with aches and pains that I never knew I had. I got arthritis in my hands, feet, arms, and shoulders. I'm dealing with pain, taking medications that I never thought I'd have to take. I don't understand why my blood pressure goes up and down. My heart doesn't pump like it used to be, and I have to take LASIK to get the fluid off my heart and a pill to keep the pressures at adequate levels. Then I must, in my older age, since I'm not dealing with the old things, other lustful things of life, not dealing with the lust of the flesh very much anymore, even though I got evil eyes. Yet I'm not dealing with those kind of things. It's only in thought now, but however, I still have the thoughts. I'm an old man, but I still have a thought of a woman. I'm an old woman, but I'm still having thoughts. Maybe I just gossip a lot, do a lot more memory now. I got to avoid the stubbornness and getting set in my old ways and that I lose my soul. So you got seniors fighting about it. It's all a spiritual fight. It's a spiritual fight. The kids, the young adults, the youth, the young adults, the middle-aged adults, and the senior adults are all in a spiritual battle. All of us are fighting against Satan and his tactics. He put the cheese on the trap. It's the wiles of the devil I'm talking about. When he put the wiles on the devil, it doesn't matter whether you're young or old. It's when you bite the cheese. And all of us, from young to old, will sometimes feel outnumbered against Satan. We'll feel outnumbered against the enemy. Feel like we're losing the spiritual fight. They don't know how I'm going to make this thing called heaven, this place called heaven. We feel like giving up. You feel like you're fighting a losing battle. You've been trying. You've been up and down. Up and down, you did good, and you're back where you were. You're like the old lady in the rocking chair. You make a lot of motion, but don't seem like you're going nowhere. So all of us got to fight, don't we? Yeah, we all got to fight. Somebody said, well, Brother Brooks, none of those are my fight, but you got one. Yeah, I came down a lot of streets today. I might not have got you, but you already know you and God, don't you? You know what your spiritual fight is. You know what your challenge is. Maybe you're not cheating on your wife. Maybe you're not cheating on your husband. What you doing? That you know God is not pleased with it. Call S-I-N. And don't put the name on it. Because there's no big one and little one. But it's S-I-N is the problem, isn't it? Yeah, you can say amen. Ain't S-I-N the problem? Sure it is. That's why we're fighting. Because we know we sin. If you don't, you think you're lying. Maybe you are. Because the Bible says, if a man say he has not sinned, he is a liar. Liar and the truth is not even inside of him. Hmm. So how do we deal with this? Now that we got the reality check. What do I do about my life? What do I do about being my young issues and my flesh is calling for all these things that I want and life pleasure looks so attractive to me? What do I do when I'm a young adult, I'm trying to make it, but yet I'm struggling. I can't be as faithful to God as I am to my school. What do I do when I'm a young man or a married man? I've been married 20 years. I'm not happy now. Things ain't going good, and I see other women. I want them, and I do. What I'm doing now when I'm a woman who's been laying there, I don't want him no more, but I do it because I'm obligated. What do I do now, Brother Brooks? When I'm old and I can't do nothing no more, life is like not good anymore. I'm sitting in my house. I can't do the things I used to do. But I want to go to heaven. What do I do? What do I do? I can tell I'm frail. I can't move like I used to. What do I do? Now let's go to 2 Kings 6 for an answer from God. You say, Brother Brooks, what are we do when we're in this fight? All of us in it, y'all. From the young to the old. So here's the help. The Bible says it's good against evil. That's all we're dealing with. Right against wrong. Choices and decisions. The king of Syria, in verse number 8, 2 Kings 6, 8, the king of Syria warred against Israel
and took counsel with his servants, saying, and such a place shall be my camp.
Now, this king of Syria, you consider him the enemy. The king of Israel, Israel is God's people. That can be us. Devil is king of Syria. And we as God's people are in a warfare against the king of Syria, which is called Satan. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying,
beware that thou pass not such a place.
Don't go over there where that king of Syria is. The man of God speaks on God's behalf to God's people, as I'm doing tonight. For thither, he said, the Syrians shall come down. So Elijah, the man of God, warns the people, as I've warned us tonight. I'm the man of God who warns according to God's word. Elijah is a prophet. He's warning the people. And preachers today must realize this is God's warning. And we, the preachers, are bold to let the people know, don't go over to Syria. They're going to kill you over there. You can't fight the devil alone. All I'm trying to get you to see is that if you choose to live life without God, you're choosing to go up against Syria, and you can't win. And then he says, the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of,
and saved himself there, not once nor twice.
The king of Israel sent a scout, man, to see if Elijah was right, even though Elijah had told him over and over again. How many times do we teach you over and over again the same thing, and you go and you test it anyway because you're trying to see is it right? It's not that we don't know what's right and wrong. We've been told over and over and over. How many of you have sinned over and over and over? I mean, just one time, maybe. Two? Can you count them? Is it three sins, four sins? Or have you not sinned over and over and over, knowing you've been warned from God? Yet you do the same thing. So Israel, king, said, Elijah had warned him over and over. He done saved. And every time he take the advice of Elijah, it saves him. Every time we take the advice coming from the word of God, it'll save us. That's why the Bible says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your soul. The message from God will always be the saving message. That's what I'm trying to get us to see. And then he says, verse 11, therefore the heart of the king of Syria
was sore troubled for this thing.
So the enemy is upset. He's upset. He's sore troubled for this thing. He called his servants and said
to them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king
who
of Israel?
Who is the leaker? The king of Syria said, who told Israel that we were going to come get him? He said, there's an informant in the camp. Understand this. Satan got his angels. Amen. And he's not alone. Satan's not alone. He's not the man in a red suit with a pitchfork and a long tail. He's a spirit. He's real. And he has angels. And they're working with him. So he's saying there must be an informant in the camp here. That's what the king of Syria is saying. Somebody done went and told him. Then verse number 12, one of the servants come back and said, No, Lord.
O king. But Elisha.
This man named Elisha.
The prophet that is in Israel.
The man of God. The prophet in Israel.
Telleth the king
of Israel.
The words that thou speakest in thy
what you saying, every word you saying. See, God, when God is on your side, you have to worry about the enemy. God done gave us everything we need to win the war. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. And he said this. He said, not only tell the king of Israel the word thou speak in your bedchamber. God can deal with us. God can deal with us in every aspect of our life. See, God knew everything that was going on with Satan. Satan can't get away with nothing. And he's telling him now, you know what? Elisha know everything you do right down to what you do in your bedroom. The man of God was equipped. He said, and so the servant said, it's not none of us. It's that man Elisha. And in verse number 13, he said, go.
Go and spy where he is.
So the enemy is trying to take out Elisha now. Amen. You think the enemy wants you to come hear the word of God? You want to know why there are less people here tonight than there was this morning? There it is right there. If the devil can keep us from getting the word of God from the man of God, then he got the battle won, because only the word of God can save him. Then he said, the king of Syria, the Bible says what?
And
he
said, send and fetch him.
Go spy on Elisha. Go that I might send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, they told him. They said, we know where Elisha is. Where is he at? He's
in Dothan.
So you don't think the devil can find us wherever he wants to see us? And we can't hide from him. Let me tell you, the devil is real. And he's able to find us no matter where we are in our life. There's a way for him to get to us. Here's what I want to be. And therefore,
send he thither horses and chariots.
All right, they found Elijah. So he said, now, therefore, since the devil, the enemy, Syria, knew where Elisha was, he sends this army of horses
and chariots.
Chariots.
And a great host.
A great host.
And they came by night.
Now, one man. One Elisha, the king of Syria, sends a whole army to take out the man of God. So you can see yourself now. The devil is going to send enough to take you out. And notice, for one man, and if you go to Ephesians chapter 6, in the spiritual battle, it's a host of them coming. Listen to the Bible now in verse number 10, Ephesians 6. And he said, finally, my brethren,
be strong in the Lord.
And in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God
that you may be able to stand against the wiles
of the devil. You got to equip for the war. Because you are in it. You got to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles. That's that trick that he's going to use on the trap. When he put the cheese on the trap, when you bite. The wiles of the devil will be tricky. And we wrestle. There you go.
Not
the
against
fight
flesh
that
and
we're
blood.
In is not against each other.
But against principalities.
It's not against the brothers in the church. It's not against nobody else. It's against principalities
against
and
powers against the rulers of the
rulers,
darkness of this world.
Plural of darkness.
Against spiritual
of this
wickedness
world,
in high places.
Spiritual wicked ones in high places. And wherefore he said,
take
put on
you
the whole
armor
of God
that you may
be able to stand
in the evil day. And having done all to stand.
Satan's coming with a whole host of horses and chariots to take us out. All he wants. It's for us to lose our souls. This is why the young people are struggling. This is why our young adults are struggling spiritually. This is why the middle-aged adults are struggling spiritually. This is why senior people all the way in their 80s and 60s and 80s will still struggle. Because the devil will not quit. He will send the host. Of woman. He don't care if you're young or old. If he can get you to die in your sins, he won the war. That's where we at. He won the war. If he can get you to die like that, he got you. Why are we fighting? Because we're surrounded by a host of enemies led by the king. Called Satan. And when the servant
of the man of God was risen early.
So Elisha has another young man with him. He gets up early.
And gone forth. Behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots.
Now, well, you got to visualize this. So he said, the young man is with Elisha. Elisha is the prophet. And the young man don't know what's going on. Elisha knows what's going on. He said, look,
and the servant said,
behold, a host compassed, circled the city, compassed the city with both horses and chariots. So it's Elijah and this little young man, and all around them are these horses and chariots. And he can see. This young man see, Syria done came to get us. And they feel trapped. Like we do when we caught up in sin. Trapped, controlled by the sin. The enemy has got us trapped. He got us surrounded. He got us encompassed. Here's Elisha, the man of God, stands with the young man. And the young man said to him,
alas,
master,
how shall we do?
What we're going to do? It's just us two. We outnumbered. We outnumbered. Remember in the beginning I said, how many of you time you feel outnumbered? You feel like you're going to lose the battle. You feel like this sin stuff is bigger than you are. It's big, y'all. Dealing with life is big. Trying to be a Christian is big. Sin is big. Satan is huge. Satan has a large army. Then he said,
and he answered, fear not. For they that be with us are more than they.
Now, Elisha comes back and he tells him, ain't nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. He said, they that be with us are more than
they that be with them.
Huh? You got to be the young man now. He's sitting there, just him and Elisha. And Elijah said, oh, don't worry about it. I know you see all the horses and chariots, all the army of people. Syria done sent to kill us. He said, master, what are we going to do? He said, oh, don't worry about it. Don't fear. They that with us are more than they that with them. How is it just us two and it's more of us than them? He don't understand what he's saying. And then Elijah asked the Lord to do something for this young man.
And Elijah prayed.
Elijah prayed to God.
And said, Lord, I pray thee. open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man.
Lord, open his eyes that he may see his mortality. And Elijah prayed, and the Lord, I pray you open his eyes. And that's my prayer for all of us, is that our eyes be open, that we're in this battle and we are outnumbered unless we can see. And he said, open the eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And he saw. Behold, what did the young man see? The young man seen the mouth
of full of horses,
of chariots and horses,
of fire,
horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. So there was an outer circle that he seen with Syria, all them people, all of the angels, all of the army of Syria, all up there around about, but around Elijah and around him was another circle. Another circle that they couldn't see with their naked eye. And so he had to see. He was letting him see. He opened, God opened his eyes of faith, that you got to see. Faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Elijah was giving him the word of God. And Elijah said, fear not. But it's the same thing Paul said. If God be for us, who can be against us? And what he was saying, that young man, is that we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And without this faith, it's impossible to beat Syria. What are you trying to say? When we are children of God and we obey the gospel, we're sealed with a seal that protects us from the enemy. That's the seal of the Holy Spirit, Ephesians chapter 1 and then verse 13. Listen to the Bible, Ephesians 1 and chapter 13. The Bible says what?
In whom ye also trusted.
Yeah.
After that ye heard the word of truth.
Yeah.
The gospel of your salvation.
Uh-huh.
In whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise.
There it is.
Which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession.
Now remember when Satan approached Job, approached God about Job. What did God tell him? What did God, Satan said to him, I can't get to him. Why? You got him encompassed. You got him. You got a circle around him. I can't. Y'all remember that? God allowed him to touch him, and all the 10 children died in one day. So Satan, if God allows Satan to touch you, things gonna happen bad. 10 children, sores all over his body. However, God still had his back because he was sealed. God allowed Satan. God would not allow Syria to come in and take over Israel. God wasn't going to allow Syria to kill Elisha. God wasn't going to allow that for him to kill his man, his servant. God is not going to allow the devil to take us out. If we hold on to God, if we hold on to his unchained hand, if we keep his word, if we follow his instruction, God will seal us. He will be compassed about with a great host of angels. That's greater than what Satan can do. The devil can't win as long as we hold to God's unchanging hand. That's the message tonight, y'all. We are walking by faith to our youth. Don't fear. Just open your eyes and believe. To the young people, don't fear. Just open your eyes and believe. To the middle-aged adult, don't fear. Just open your eyes and believe God can able. And to the senior, don't fret. Don't fear. Don't fear. They that be with us are more than they which are against us.
Amen.
And so God said, Elijah prayed as I do for us, that we fear not the enemy. Because God be for us. He's just a who. And whos can't get to God's children when they circled. Isn't that a good lesson?
Amen. Amen.
Here's the thing about this lesson. When you're a man or woman of faith, you understand that my whole walk to heaven is a faith walk. Now, I believe God is going to take care of me. He's going to get me all the way through. And I'm going to have to fight Syria. I'm going to have to fight against him. He's coming. But God has said, if you just keep my commands, if you do what I tell you, I'll bless you. God bless you. And if you keep reading the story, it goes on that once God get the enemy and start working on him, he start working on the king of Syria. He start working on, Elijah told him to blind their eyes. He blinded them. He took that whole host and took them to Samaria. When they got to Samaria, Elijah asked God to let them see. And he got there. They found out they wasn't around. They wasn't where they went. They wasn't in Dothan no more. They ended up in Samaria because God blinded their eye. When they got to Samaria, the king of Israel said, "What should we do with them? Should we kill them?" He said, "No, it wasn't you that did it. It was God. You don't kill them because God had dealt with your enemy." That's what he was trying. And we don't take vengeance on nobody. It's not us to get them. Let God deal with the enemy. That's what he did. And God dealt with that enemy. He dealt with them. He sent a famine. They started eating the heads of a donkey. They had to eat a dove dung. They got held up by God. And one woman, you keep reading the chapter, they got so hungry, two women agreed to eat their children. One ate her child the first day. The other promised to eat hers the second day. But when she got to the second day, she backed out of the deal. So the king of Israel came through and he told him there, the king of Israel, she told him, she said she was going to eat her baby if I ate my baby. God, the devil is being worked on. God is working on him, man. He's working on him. And so Then the king of Israel gets upset. Said, "Man, Elijah should have did something about this." And you can blame anybody you want to, but when God is taking on the devil, he'll whoop him however you want to whoop him.
Amen.
He took him on. He took on Syria. And the story goes, the man of God prevailed. And the enemy failed. That makes sense? Now, y'all go read the rest of it. I just gave you a recap of the whole chapter. So what's the lesson tonight, y'all? Believe. No matter what you're going through, no matter how hard your battles are, to the young people, no matter if they do bully you, you don't have to commit suicide. You just believe. Open your eyes of faith. Say, "God is going to take care of it. It ain't nothing but the devil. But God going to handle it." See. Your eyes and see. The eyes of faith says, no matter how my conditions may be, or what it may look like I'm surrounded by, God is able to deal with me. To the young adults, you can do it. You can do it. But you got to open your eyes of faith and put your priorities where they need to be. To middle age adults, no matter what you're going through in your marriage and all these other things we go through in middle age, God is able to bring that home back together and to satisfy the young age, the middle age needs in life. And to our seniors, it doesn't matter that you're getting older. God has still got you back. Everything gonna be all right. You might be hating, hurting. Amen. I'm hurting. I'm 58. I guess I'm 2 years away from a Sam. Oh, Lord. Somebody pray for me. If I didn't know it, I'd be over there with Sister Hill and them going to the zoo or something. Amen, somebody. I probably need a hip replacement right now. I got back problem. Oh, Lord. I'm getting old, Tim. And you too? Yeah. Tim said me too. He can't climb with them addicts like he used to. About to pass out. That diabetes, everything going wrong. God gonna get us through, ain't he? Y'all, what's the message, y'all? The kind of people are we? Men and women of what?
Faith.
No matter how outnumbered we feel, God has a number that's greater than the Syria, greater than what the devil can send our way. And God has promised us, if you take care of serving me, vengeance is mine. I'll send them into a family where they'll start eating donkey heads. They'll start begging for God. They'll eat their own children when I get through with them. The last thing you want is God dealing with you as the enemy. God said the enemies will come at you one way, and when I get through, they'll run seven different ways. In other words, God is saying I'm greater than they are. One of me can kill seven of them. So bad I'll whoop them where they leave naked. God said, I whoop all the clothes off, shoes and everything off. And when I'm finished, that Deuteronomy 20, I ain't got time for that. That was a good one, too. I want to go over there. Just because it's afternoon service, I guess I won't. And, you know, I've been doing it for 34 years, fighting a fight. It's a battle. When you done gone through the youth age, you know that battle. You passed that one. But I can understand what they're going through. I done went through the young adult battle. Man, that was a tough one. But I made it through that one. I'm in the middle-aged adult section. Done went through all that other stuff. Now I'm in that middle age. Just trying to make it. Trying to make it, man. Yeah, headed to the old age. Me and Mike are both. Mike already in the 60s. He don't want to transfer, but he gone. You might well go and step on over there, Mike. Mike was thinking, he was sitting there shaking his head when he was thinking about him, too. We're in them 60s. And now we got to get ready, y'all, because ain't nowhere else to go but to heaven. Amen, somebody. And I don't know about you. The only way to get through any of them ages is by faith. The only way to make it to heaven is by faith. Lord, open my eyes that I might see. And for those who are not Christians, you have to seek Jesus the Christ, a suffering Savior hanging on the cross. You got to see him beat, marred, battered, and spit on. Blood coming down his body, nails in his hands and in his feet. From the stripes of the whipping, blood would flow. And they would hang 6 hours. Took him down after he died, buried him in a borrowed tomb. He resurrected with power and said, go in the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth, and he is, what? Baptized shall be saved. Once you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit is your circumference. It compasses you, protects you, it seals you, it hedges you from Satan. But you have a choice. You can stay sealed or you can leave the seal. When you leave God, you left the seal. You left your hedge. And Satan has free course to destroy you because it was your choice. Whatever we do, y'all, men and women of faith never, never quit. We never leave the Lord, no matter how outnumbered we feel, no matter how we're dealing with life, we never leave the Lord. We stay with Elijah. We stay with the word of God, and it will get us where we need to go. Amen? That's good. So you hear the gospel. You got to believe it with all of your heart. You got to repent of your sin. You got to confess Jesus to be the Son of God. And then we must baptize you as commanded by Jesus the Christ. Tonight, right now, we can baptize you for the remission of your sin. The Lord then will add you to the army, his army. And that is the church. The church of Christ is the one that fights against Satan. We are Israel today, and Syria is Satan. We are Israel, and we got men of God that preaches to us the word of God. And we do what the word of God say, we'll be all right. Be faithful unto what? Death. And you shall receive a crown of life. If you're here tonight, you want to come, you got a prayer request, you need to be baptized, or you need a repent confession, you can do that as together we stand and sing the song we come.